This podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of DIA Global Forum. In February 2017, regulatory authorities in the European Union and the United States signed a mutual recognition agreement, or MRA, on good manufacturing practice inspections. The aim of this agreement is to make better use of inspection capacity, reduce duplication, and encourage greater international harmonization. Today, I am joined by Dara Corrigan, Associate Commissioner for Global Regulatory Policy in the FDA Office of Global Regulatory Operations and Policy, where she is responsible for the FDA's Mutual Reliance Initiative with the EU. Ms. Corrigan joined FDA in 2010 as Associate Commissioner for Regulatory Affairs and then served as Director of FDA's Europe Office in Brussels. We look forward to hearing her expert perspective on this MRA and similar agreements. Thank you for joining us today, Ms. Corrigan, and welcome.
Thank you for that kind introduction. I very much appreciate it.
To start, could you please tell our listeners a little bit about the mutual recognition agreements, what purpose they serve, and why they're important?
Yes, I would be happy to. And thank you for highlighting the fact that we did reach a successful conclusion to our negotiations for a mutual recognition for pharmaceutical inspections this year in March. We're very happy with that conclusion.
Was it a long negotiation?
Yes, it was a long negotiation, 15 rounds of negotiations that we were very pleased to bring to fruition, but it was a long, very intense and analytical process to reach the conclusion that we did. I think that's the case for any mutual recognition agreement. And as you asked me, mutual recognition agreements are international agreements, and their goal is to have two countries, or in our case, the EU and the United States, focus on safety together and trust together. I can give you an example in another industry first, just to very clearly give people an idea of what we're talking about. In the airline industry, as you, I hope you know, and I certainly hope as well, there are safety standards when airplanes take off. And quite a long time ago, the EU and the U.S. decided to focus on whether or not they could trust each other's safety standards so that, for example, when a plane takes off from the U.K., we can trust the U.K. to safety test that airplane, and vice versa, that the U.K. could trust the United States to safety check its airplanes when they fly to the U.K. And in fact, we reached an agreement, and that is the state of the world today. And that trust has lingered and continued to benefit global safety in the airline industry. We had a very similar goal in the pharmaceutical industry. The goal that we had was to see if we could reach a mutual recognition agreement with respect to pharmaceutical inspections. And the purpose they serve, which you highlighted very well, is that you can avoid duplicating inspections, you can use those resources in higher risk parts of the world, and you benefit enormously from having trust where you're exchanging on a, I wouldn't say daily, but weekly basis, information about pharmaceutical facilities. And when you have that information and you have that trust and you avoid duplication, the world that you're creating is a world where people can be more assured about the quality and safety of the drugs that are produced in the EU and the US.
Conceptually, this MRA is similar to the MRA that applied to the airline industry, as you pointed out, but tactically and specifically, there are some perhaps major differences and maybe additional complications in the pharmaceutical MRA versus an airline's MRA.
I'm not an expert on the airline industry, but what I will say is that for the pharmaceutical industry, we tried back in 1998 reach an agreement in 1998 that was never implemented. And I do think that the pharmaceutical industry presents challenges. And the challenges that we have is that there is variability among the member states in how they execute their programs for pharmaceutical inspections. And we knew this going in. We knew it in 1998. And we had to find a way over time to address any variability that existed in the member states, because we do have an agreement with the EU, but the agreement contemplates an assessment of every member state separately. But we have overcome that hurdle, and we believe that the agreement, this agreement, will be implemented in the way that it's contemplated in the actual agreement.
So to be specific, what is the scope of this MRA that was signed between Europe and the U.S.?
The scope really relates to products and the types of inspections. So for products, there are, I would say, virtually every drug that is regulated by the EU and the U.S., all of those drugs are included. Finished dosage, in process, and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. What is excluded specifically is human blood, human plasma, human tissue and organs, and veterinary immunologicals. However, in the agreement, there are some products where we're going to phase them in, and those products are vaccines, veterinary medicines, and plasma-derived pharmaceuticals. Those will be phased in over a period of time, but they will not be included from the start of the agreement.
Why were they treated or viewed separately?
They're viewed separately because in many ways what we want to do is to implement this agreement and learn from it at the same time. And vaccines have always presented complex issues that require a great deal of scientific focus and attention. And what we want to do is to learn from the vast majority of drugs that are included, almost all of them, and then we will move on to evaluating vaccines and plasma-derived pharmaceuticals. When we talk about what types of inspections are included, both post-approval and pre-approval inspections are included within the scope. However, post-approval or surveillance inspections are required. For pre-approval inspections, it's discretionary. The other type of inspection that is discretionary, what is called third country inspections. And a third country inspection is when a U.S. investigator, an FDA investigator, goes to China. So can the EU rely upon an investigation that the FDA does in China? And what the agreement allows is for the EU to consider whether or not it wants to or recognize that inspection. So we've tried to be as expansive as possible in this agreement while recognizing that at the beginning, some parts will be discretionary, but permissible.
In practice, would it be the case that pre-approval inspections that FDA would normally do in Europe would be conducted by European authorities and FDA would accept the findings of those European authorities in those pre-approval inspections?
Pre-approval inspections are different in the U.S. and the EU. And in particular, we have very strict requirements in the U.S. for the time period in which we have to do the inspection. And also, applications are different. So what we want to do is we would like to rely on pre-approval inspections conducted in the EU, and we will when we can. But sometimes there will be legal barriers that prevent us from doing that or practical considerations like the inspection simply can't be done within the relevant timeframes, and we have an obligation to our consumers to conduct the inspections as quickly as possible.
So are you saying that this will be dealt with on a case-by-case basis relative to specific pre-approval inspections that need to be conducted? So you'll be perhaps communicating with your European counterparts as to whether a particular PAI will be done by the Europeans or by the FDA directly in Europe?
Exactly. That's exactly what will happen. And we will be communicating about these. We will request that an inspection be done. We will explain exactly what would need to be done during that inspection. And if possible, a recognized authority could do that inspection for us. Otherwise, we will do it ourselves.
Have the European authorities voiced their intent to accept FDA inspections conducted in the U.S. instead of the Europeans coming to the U.S. to do those inspections?
The EU has expressed a great desire to accept our pre-approval inspections, and I would, based upon my own observation, expect them to do that.
There is a matter of resources deployed here, and that is, I wonder, and I wanted to ask you about, what is the impact on FDA resources, for example, if you have to do inspections in the U.S. and occasionally inspections in Europe as well, because as you pointed out, there will be situations where the Europeans will not be able to fulfill the requirements that FDA has in relation to a particular NDA. So is this going to put a strain on resources, or net-net, would it save FDA resources?
We expect that inspections in the EU will decline significantly once we've recognized a country for surveillance inspections, and we do far more surveillance inspections than pre-approval inspections. And what we're hoping is that those resources saved, which are significant and will continue to be significant over time, that we will be able to use those saved resources in areas of higher risk.
What is the impact of this MRA on pharmaceutical inspections in the U.S. more specifically? What can the industry expect out of this MRA in practice in their daily work?
The industry can expect that duplicative inspections will decrease significantly in the EU and the U.S., and that those inspection resources will be deployed in areas of higher risk outside of the U.S. and the EU. And for the industry, that is a benefit, and for consumers and our patients in the U.S. and the EU, it is of huge benefit.
In other words, if I understand you correctly, a company would be inspected not twice by FDA and European authorities, but once by either one of them.
Exactly.
So it would presumably reduce the inspection burden on industry and the effort required to host two or perhaps more than two inspections for the same facility.
Exactly.
Underlying this MRA, there appears to be a presumption that the standards for inspections in the U.S. and in Europe are sufficiently similar that mutual recognition of inspections is facilitated by this similarity or equivalence of inspection standards. Is that a fair conclusion?
It's interesting that you phrase it that way. When we started the work in May of 2014, one of the fundamental guiding principles was to make no assumptions, about any country in the EU, and we assumed that the EU was making no assumptions about us. And what you talk about is whether or not the standard is the same. What we were thinking, of course, was that question. We were thinking about that question, but we were thinking about a lot of questions. We were thinking about conflict of interest, the size of the inspectorate, how the inspectors were trained in the EU, and many other questions. And what we knew we had to do was to have a way to evaluate that so that at the end of the day, for every country in the EU, we would have a book of evidence that would support whether or not that particular country had an inspectorate that met U.S. standards. So I like to describe it as the library of the mutual recognition agreement. And what you would have in that library are 28 books that we would be able to pull off the shelf, and we would be able to hand it to someone, and they would know exactly how we analyzed each country so that people would be reassured that when we are accepting an inspection from Cyprus, that we had engaged the Cyprus inspectorate, that we had evaluated it, and that we were relying on scientific facts to really inform and also be very transparent about the way we're making decisions, because we want everyone to be assured that the pharmaceutical products they buy in the U.S. that come from the EU are safe.
During these protracted negotiations, it seems that then FDA had to evaluate or become comfortable with the standards for inspections in the 28 member states of the European Union. Is that what helped take so long in reaching this agreement?
Yes. In fact, we will not be finished evaluating the member states, all of them, until July of 2019. That shouldn't be surprising since there are 28 of them. Meaning FDA, have a much greater burden than the EU. We have one inspector at the FDA. But it allows us an incredible opportunity to gain an in-depth understanding of the 28 inspectorates. It's very different to go and sit with an inspectorate and to examine voluminous records about how that inspectorate operates, to go and watch the inspector in the Czech Republic go out and do an inspection, and frankly, to learn about the differences in culture. The one thing that comes to mind when I'm talking about culture, to give you just an example,
sure,
is I was there for the evaluation of the Czech Republic, and it's a very austere building where their inspectorate operates. So I would describe it as a cement building, it's not a fancy building. And the inspectorate, of course, we spent a lot of time with them, et cetera. But in the building, they have a sauna in the basement. And I was thinking sitting as the FDA representative with some colleagues that there is no way there would ever be a sauna in the basement at FDA. It's just these differences in culture that are fascinating. But it does give us an opportunity, and many people at the FDA, this has been an effort of an extraordinary number of people, it gives us the opportunity to actually go to the countries and learn a significant amount. And that has been valuable separate and apart from the negotiations for the MRA.
No doubt. I wanted to ask you, how have the member states of the EU reacted to these interactions? Did they feel that they were gaining something from the interaction, learning from FDA as much as FDA was learning from them?
It's always hard to be evaluated and to have someone sitting on the other side who you know is looking at everything with a critical eye. That said, the European Union does audits of all of its member states. And what that means is that they have two countries go into another country to evaluate that country's inspectorate. And because they need to in the European Union, in a sense, the European Union has done already what we're trying to do with the European Union. For example, the UK accepts drugs from Bulgaria, knowing that the Bulgarian inspectorate has inspected them. And so, to be prudent, they have audits of each member state, and those audits we've observed. So we have been able to go in and really focus on how each one of these individual inspectorates operates and how, you know, how they can be evaluated.
Very interesting experience for all concerned, it seems.
Yes.
Ms. Corrigan, are there any other further actions planned to maximize the impact of these changes on the FDA, on the American public, on the industry?
The greatest benefit will be the full implementation of the agreement. And as I said, it is going to take us until 2019 to evaluate all of the member states. And a continued focus and continued resources devoted to the effort with the EU will have the greatest impact. That said, I think the experience with the EU leads us to a conclusion that it would in the future be prudent to consider agreements with other countries. And we would expect when we have the resources and the ability to be considering that path as well.
In practice, when could a company expect to see the impact of this MRA? Will it be another couple of years? Will it be later in 2017? When will this actually begin to be felt by the industry?
The European Union will be giving us their decision about whether or not the FDA is equivalent to the EU system by July of this year. And FDA has committed in the agreement to evaluate 8 member states by November. Under the terms of the agreement, industry should begin to see the effects in November 2017. I wouldn't say November exactly, but I would say over the next year, the year beginning in 2017, November 2017, and then going forward as the agreement begins the true implementation period. But I can assure you and your listeners that we at FDA are gearing up and we are ready to implement this agreement when it comes into force in November 2017.
Will the impact on a company depend perhaps on where the manufacturing facility being inspected is located versus, for example, whether it's in the UK or in Bulgaria or in Cyprus? Will the impact of the MRA roll out gradually depending on where the manufacturing facility is located?
It will roll out gradually because we will continue to evaluate the member states over time. And if a country is recognized, then the agreement applies. So it will have to be a rolling implementation for the EU.
And finally, are there any matters or issues surrounding this MRA that you would like to mention in closing that I have not asked you about?
The only thing I will say is that FDA is an agency that is grounded in innovative thinking. I think industry should expect us to be innovative and to enter into agreements like this that will change the way that we inspect. And I'm very happy to be associated with the FDA team that has made this mutual recognition agreement possible.
Thank you. This has been an extraordinarily informative conversation, Ms. Corrigan. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
For the IA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.